Welcome to the Family Story Podcast, where we talk about family relationships, important family events, and most of all, family stories that can be passed on for generations to come. I'm your host, Rick Jensen, and I'm glad you've joined us today. So sit back, listen, learn, and love as we talk about your family in this episode of the Family Story Podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Family Story Podcast. Today in our studio, we have Elder John Bottoms. He just recently returned from the Philippines, and we have so many questions to ask him. Thank you for joining us today, John.
Thank you for having me.
John is joining us today by video conference call because he's in quarantine due to the coronavirus outbreak. But we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's first talk about the beginning of your mission. Before you went to the mission field, you went into the MTC. Did you go to the MTC in Provo, Utah, or did you go somewhere else?
I went to both Provo MTC and Manila.
Tell me about that experience.
It was honestly a fun experience, but at the same time, it just felt kind of long because I more wanted to get out and serve than be in the MTC and there for 6 weeks and just studying every day. But it was awesome experience. It was a great testimony to see all of the thousands of missionaries that were gathered in one place, all called to different places. We all had the same purpose, the same calling to bring others unto Christ.
Now, you went to the Provo MTC and then the Manila MTC. How long were you in each?
I was in Provo for 6 weeks, spent a week in Manila.
And which one did you like best?
I liked the Manila MTC the best.
How come?
Because I got a few more of what I was going into in the Philippines. I really like the food in the Philippines, and so the food choices were a lot different.
You mean in the MTC, the food choices were a lot different?
Yeah.
So let's talk about the food that you ate in the Philippines. Tell me about that.
Okay. Well, I ate some interesting things. I ate, like, I don't remember if it's fertilized or unfertilized egg, but it's like a chicken inside its egg still. So I'm pretty sure it's dead. I don't remember if it was living or not, but they call it balut. And so I ate a lot of balut. It was really good. Like, it didn't taste bad. You add some vinegar and some salt with it. It tastes really good.
Wow. Was that one of your favorite delicacies there in the Philippines?
It wasn't one of my favorites, but it was just like one of the things that people tell you, or Philippines will tell you, it makes you stronger.
And but did it work?
Not really. You eat too much of it, you'll be sick.
Oh, that's great. So as you got out there in the Philippines, I've heard some missionaries talk about culture shock. Did you experience that? And if so, tell me about that. If you didn't, tell me why you felt like you didn't experience a culture shock.
I think I did experience culture shock because, like, my first day, I honestly can't remember. It's like a whole blur. Like, I remember going out and I just remember seeing the houses and the people and how everyone was on the street, and there's all these like street vendors selling food. And then I remember just being with my trainer, and I didn't understand a word of what he was trying to tell me to do because I was new in the mission, and so I didn't exactly understand the language. And my trainer, he didn't speak English, so it was just like a whole culture shock of seeing how they lived and how what kind of the food they ate, because they had rice literally all the time.
How do you get along with a trainer that doesn't speak English? How does that work?
Kind of just do your best to find like ways to serve one another. Me and my trainer, we had a really hard time at first getting along because neither of us could really speak to each other. And sometimes I forget a word in Tagalog and I'd ask him and he'd be like, oh, I told you that word yesterday. And I'm like, sorry, I kind of forgot. But we kind of have to like, we worked our way around by cooking for the other, or we end up buying a treat for the other, just doing some simple ways to serve one another.
How did your Tagalog in the MTC compare to your Tagalog in the mission field?
You learn so much more in the mission field. I feel like I learned nothing in the MTC. I feel like I learned nothing about Tagalog in the MTC at all. I feel like I mostly all learned it in the field. Like, even in the MTC, the little basic stuff, I feel like I learned more of that in the field than I did the MTC.
Wow. Do you have a plan on how you want to remember Tagalog, or what is your thought on that?
My plan right now is I've been reading every morning. I usually read my scriptures in English with my Tagalog one side by side. Then I also, at night, I will continue my prayers in Tagalog.
That's great. Are you able, with technology, are you able to keep in touch with anyone from your mission?
Yeah, I keep in contact just about every day with some of the people I taught in the Philippines or some of the members that worked with us. So I talk to them about at least every other day.
That's great. Tell us about one of the most trying things that you ever experienced on your mission.
I think one of the most trying things on my mission would have to be having a companion. Because at home, I'm not used to having a companion, but when I went out in the field, I had a companion. And there's some companions that were really, really hard to have. Just because of some of our personalities clashed, some of the ways we didn't get along. And so it was really a huge adjustment for me to be able to have a companion, to kind of being with them 24/7. You can't really leave them. You're always stuck with them. And so that was kind of a huge change for me, is just being able to have that companion always right there.
What did you do to resolve issues as they came up with companions?
For me, a solution that we came up with was that we always just talked about like our differences. So we kind of followed like the Preach My Gospel. After our weekly planning, we always did the companionship inventory, where we kind of like supported each other and helped the other missionary improve. And so that for me was a huge thing that like really helps any of my companionships that I had with any of my companions, was doing that companionship inventory so that we could all kind of grow together. Because kind of without that companionship inventory, you kind of didn't know what you were lacking on, what things you need to improve. Because you never focused really on what you always need to improve, but your companion, he sees kind of the things that we need to improve on. And so it's really nice having that companion to tell us also one of the things to help us kind of change, to rebuild ourselves, to be more like, become more Christ-like.
That's a great answer. Thank you. As we talk about your mission, you know, it's almost 2 years of your life. And as you think about it, is there anything that comes to your mind where you say to yourself, I will never forget that moment? Because we would really love to hear about that moment.
I have one of those moments is when we were at one of the baptisms of the people we were teaching. And so, yeah, that's one of the most unforgettable moments that I had, was seeing, it was at the end of their baptism, because we'd been teaching them for a while and we kind of finished all the lessons and we were just waiting for their baptism to come up and for them to be ready with no problems in Word of Wisdom or no problems with anything else. So we were just kind of waiting. And so as we kind of continued to teach them, we went through all the lessons, and then we kind of started emphasizing more in the Book of Mormon. And so we went through the stories of the Book of Mormon, some of the great stories of the Book of Mormon, in Alma, where he talks about building our testimony of how it starts out as a little seed. And we continued on with stories just to be able to help them gain more of the testimony in the Book of Mormon, really prayed for guidance to help them. And at their baptism, it was their testimony that was like a super unforgettable moment for me, when I saw them bear their testimony of the Savior and how he helped their family become more as united, become one in the gospel, and how one of them really overcame their addictions to alcohol, and how he found the motivation to quit through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's great. You mentioned a person, but then you started talking about a family. So who was baptized? Who did you have that interaction with as a missionary?
So we had their whole family, mm-hmm. and there was four of them. It was a mom and her daughter, and then her two grandkids. They were all baptized together.
Wow. That's an impactful moment, probably.
Yeah, it was a super impactful moment. Really strong testimony builder for me to see more of a family become united, to see them draw closer to each other, to want to be around each other more often instead of wanting to always just be around their friends. I saw the love in them grow.
That's neat. How long had you been out when that happened?
I was just over my year mark. And I'd spent about 6 months in that area with them.
How long were they taking the missionary discussions for?
They took it for about a month and a half, and then they were baptized.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that with us. Often we hear about these great things that happen on missions, but I think it's important that we realize that struggles can happen on missions too. Is there anything that happened on your mission that you could share with us that was really difficult for you to deal with?
Yeah, I got sick with dengue on my mission.
What's that? Tell me about that.
It's a virus that I got from like mosquito, or not necessarily a virus, but it's an illness I got from mosquitoes. So mosquitoes carry it. And when you get it, you lose like strength to your limbs. You get really sick. You start throwing up. You can't eat. And you have super high fevers. I think I had a fever of like a 104.
Oh, wow.
And so I was really sick. And then they put me in the hospital for about, I was there for, I think, a week.
Oh, my goodness. What did you do? What did your companion do? How did that work out?
So when I was in the hospital, my companion was there with me for 3 days until he got sick in the hospital. He got a super bad stomach flu. Luckily, we had like, in Tagalog, it's like kabahais, but I think the English translation for that's like roommates. We had like our other missionaries who are our housemates. They came and like they did exchanges with us. So one of us was at the house with my companion and the other one was in the hospital with me for the next however many days I was there.
Oh my gosh. That was definitely a day you probably wouldn't want to relive again. Can you think of any days that you would want to relive?
I think one day I'd really want to relive is when me and my companion, we were walking by. We were trying to find this referral that we got from one of the other elders in our mission. And as we were trying to find her, we went to the edge of our area and we just couldn't find where her house was because we were asking all these neighborhoods and they have like a registry of the people that live there, their address. And so we were asking the guards at the front gate and they didn't know anyone that went by those names or the name that we received. And so as we were kind of walking away, we were kind of bummed that we couldn't find this person. But as we were kind of sitting there, I just felt prompted to call the person, to call them and see if they're available. And so I called, and the first time she didn't answer. And so I was like, dang. But then the time after that, like we were kind of walking for about another 3 or 4 minutes. I kind of got the prompting in to call her. And so I called her, and this time she picked up. But she didn't know who we were. They didn't really explain that we were going to come back and contact her. And so we explained who we were, and she came and found us at the edge of our area, which we thought, oh, her house would be close. And we started walking. About 10 minutes later, we're like, oh, sister, where's your house? She's like, oh, it's just over there. Walked for about another 25 minutes, and we got to a mountain, hiked up for about 5 minutes, and we got to our house. And we're like, sister, your house is far. And she was like, yeah. And we're like, but she came just to find us so that we could share with her, just so we could like bring a light into her family and share the gospel.
Cool story. Thanks for sharing that. If you were to evaluate the Filipino people and their culture, how would you evaluate them on their willingness to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ?
I'd say their acceptance is they're super accepting of the gospel because everyone there has a super Christian background. A lot of people are pretty, for the most part, they're either Catholic or Baptists, or they all believe in Christ for the most part. And so they're pretty accepting of the gospel. It's just more getting them familiar to our church and the Book of Mormon and all the things that we teach, kind of helping them realize the differences in our church. Because we had a lot of people on our mission that would tell us, oh, our religion's the same. There's no differences. But then we kind of had to like emphasize with the Book of Mormon. We started really emphasizing with the Book of Mormon and the restoration of the gospel to show them that we had this difference, that we had the truth restored on the earth. And so for us, it was hard to get people, sometimes to get people to see the difference, to see that our religion was different, that we had the restored truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ here on the earth.
Thank you. When you're on a mission, you meet so many different people, and those people may have an impact on you, and you may have an impact on them. Tell us from your mission, who do you think had the biggest impact on you and why?
I think one of the biggest people that had my... Can companions count?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had two companions that I think... Can I choose two?
Sure.
Okay, I had two companions that were really influential in my life, that really left a huge impact on my life in the way that we share the gospel. And one of them was my fourth companion. His name was Elder Gamolo. And he had a super strong testimony. He was less active for a lot of years before his mission. And like he really showed me how important the work is for us and how if we're just going, he showed more importance of going out and just working every day to really working to help the children of Heavenly Father come unto him, to return, to come unto Christ. He really helped me to see how important it was to try everyone. I think in just that short time I was with him, we tried just about everyone we could. I don't think there was people that we didn't talk to. We were always talking to some people. We were always doing the best that we could to be able to share the gospel. And he was one of the big, like, influential people that really helped my testimony grow, because he just worked so differently than the way I was used to working.
What was different about it? What did he do that was different?
Just the way, like, he was more motivated. Like, when he went out, he was just a lot, he was a lot faster at walking. He was always moving. He was always trying to find people to teach. He wasn't distracted, but he was focused on the work. I had a lot of companions before him who we kind of were like distracted, where we just talked and walked around. And then, like, I had him, and he really showed me more importance, and that really helped me emphasize my testimony and emphasize that we need to just go out and share. So after that, we were together for 2 transfers. Our first transfer was just us adjusting to one another. And that second one, we went out. I don't think there was a person that we didn't talk to in that area.
Oh, wow. That's great. Now, you mentioned you had one other.
Yeah, I had one other who was super amazing too. Like, we went out every day, and as missionaries, the best part of the day is going and leaving the house. There was times when we were planning and we were just kind of tired of sitting in the house. We're like, okay, let's go out and we'll finish it later. And like, we go out and then we end up coming back and we're like, dang it, we forgot to finish planning. That's because we just wanted to spend so much time teaching the gospel. We wanted to spend that so much time outside of the apartment, because you're not going to have any miracles or anything happen inside your apartment. The best miracles happen when you're sharing the gospel, when you're really testifying of Jesus Christ. And that's one thing that I saw with him, is when we really used the Book of Mormon. Like, we went around and that was our first lesson that we shared, was the Book of Mormon. We started teaching everybody about the Book of Mormon. We started going through our box really fast, because we started knocking on doors and started teaching people about the Book of Mormon and encouraged and invited them to read it. And that was probably one of the happiest times I've ever been on my mission, is when we've been going out and just sharing about the Book of Mormon, going door to door to sharing the Book of Mormon.
So you enjoyed what they call tracting. That was something you loved.
I did enjoy tracting.
Now, I missed that person's name, the second person's name.
Oh, his name was Elder Dunyan. Whoops, my bad.
And where was he from?
He was from California.
Well, thank you for sharing about those people who had a good influence on you. Let me ask you one more question about, you know, your calling. So you were called by a prophet of God to the Philippines. Do you feel like you were called to the Philippines for a reason? And if so, did you find the reason?
I do feel like that was exactly where the Lord needed me to be. And I think the reason was, I've seen it a lot through just some people I was teaching and through some companions. Because my trainer, he had a brother die on the mission while he was out serving on his mission due to a motorcycle accident. And so I was, at the same time, I was so new and I really wanted to go home at that time. That was the time I was struggling in my mission because I was just so new. I was still adjusting. But I had awesome 2 mission presidents, but the first one, he kind of helped me realize that this was the reason I was there, to help my companion with the death of his brother, with the time of sharing the gospel. And after, we kind of sat inside for a few days, just because my companion, he was just so, I don't know what the word is for this, but he was just so caught up with, not caught up, but he was just mourning over his brother's death. And so it was a really hard time for both of us, because I was just so new, and then he lost his brother. But I think that's also one thing that brought us together, is that through the plan of salvation, we're able to be with our families. And seeing him, just his testimony grow for the plan of salvation, hearing him testify of the plan of salvation after the death of his brother was just so powerful for me. Because that's one way I felt I was needed there, was to support my companion through his trials, through the death of his brother. So I really felt like I was needed at that moment to be able to be there to comfort him, because he was really struggling. And I definitely saw that a lot when he was really struggling. He would tell me every night as we walk home how he was sad that he lost his brother and how he didn't get a chance to talk to him, because we found out on the day we called our family for Christmas.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a really rough day. So we called our family. He was just shocked by the news.
I can't imagine how difficult that would be. Tell me how you feel like your mission has impacted you for your life ahead of you.
it's honestly changed the whole course of my life. It kind of redirected me, because it picked me up and kind of put me on the right path. It put all the, like, not necessarily the pieces of my life together, but it showed me a direction that I need to go. It really gave me the direction and things that I need to make sure that I'm doing in my life, to make sure that I'm always holding my temple recommend, to be able to always be able to follow the Savior, to always be paying my, in a full tithe payer, and to really following the Savior in every way that I can. That's something that my mission really helped emphasize in my life, is that how critical and how important it is to follow the Savior, how important, critically amazing this church is, and how I grew to love it so much on my mission.
I know many missionaries who've come back off their mission and they feel like they've changed. How do you feel like your mission has changed you?
I don't know. I feel like I've definitely become a lot more confident in myself than I was before my mission. Definitely become a lot more confident. I feel like I definitely have a lot stronger of faith than I did before. And I've definitely come to realize that how important it is to be able to always recognize my weaknesses, and how important it is to recognize the atonement of Jesus Christ in my life, and how critically important it is to use it to be able to apply the teachings of the Savior every day, and how important it is for me to constantly not just sharing the gospel, but living the gospel as well.
Was that something that you didn't feel like you had before you went on your mission?
Definitely not. I feel like I've definitely learned that more on my mission. I feel like I was just kind of getting by more before my mission. I feel like it really became true on my mission. I feel like that's when it became real, was when I was on my mission. Like, that's when everything became real, that this church was true, that Joseph Smith was a prophet of God. I feel like that this is the time when everything really became, my views changed in life of how the gospel is really the thing I should be focused on throughout my whole life. That should be the center. And Jesus Christ should always be there at that center.
Thank you. I mentioned at the beginning of our podcast that you and I were meeting via video conference because of the coronavirus outbreak that has happened, and that caused you to come home earlier than anticipated. Tell us what your feelings were when you heard from your mission president that you would be coming home earlier because of the virus.
Honestly, it made me feel, I was just so shocked in the moment, because we had an emergency transfer, just transferring all the missionaries from one place to another, because my current area was in the city and the city was going on lockdown. The whole metro of Manila, all of Manila was going on lockdown. And so had an emergency transfer this Saturday before our transfer day, which was supposed to be on a Wednesday the following week. And so we kind of were shuffling around, getting all these missionaries into places, getting them into apartments, getting them through into the city before all the roadblocks and checkpoints went up. And so after that, I had a new companion, and we were only together for 4 days. And as me and him were sitting in our house, we received the text from the zone leaders that we had to stay inside. So we were like, we just kind of thought we were going to be locked inside for the next couple of weeks and thought it'd be fine. But then the next day, later that night, we got a text from our zone leaders saying we need to pack our bags. They're shipping every foreigner out of the Philippines. And for me and my companion, we kind of just stood there at the phone, looked at it for a moment, and we kind of thought, what? We don't want to leave. It's not time. And we were just kind of shocked, and we kind of both started crying, because we both just love the Filipino people so much. We love the Philippines. We didn't want to leave at all. And so we were just super shocked of what was happening and how everything was going. So we didn't really know what was going to happen to us. And so those next couple of days, we were kind of just moved around place to place to the MTCs, just to kind of wait it out for getting all of us missionaries out of the Philippines. And so that was kind of a big shock. And I was super sad at first to leave. But at the same time, it was kind of a little tender mercy that we're leaving, that we're able to be quarantined with our families and not have to worry about obtaining the virus. But at the same time, it's just we didn't want to leave. We wanted to stay and serve.
Now that you're home, you're in a quarantine at home. How do you feel like you're adjusting?
Honestly, it's kind of weird being home, kind of just having to decide what to do to not have that routine schedule. So I kind of had to make myself like my own little schedule, just so I don't forget to read my scripture, so I don't forget all the things that I learned over the past 3 years. And so every morning I'll wake up about 8:30 to 9 and I'll get ready and then I'll read my scriptures. And so I always make sure that the scriptures are the first part of my day. that way I always have that light and guidance and the Spirit to be with me. So the Spirit with me. So if I, as I'm going through the day, I'll have that guidance. I'll have that extra, the light in my life to be able to be guided in all that I do.
Thank you. That's a great attitude to have. Missionaries have the opportunity to share their testimony often, and you were able to share your testimony in Tagalog. Would you be willing to share your testimony with us in Tagalog right now?
Right now, yeah. Alam ko po na yung simbahan na ito ay sobrang totoo po siya. Alam ko na nasa pamagitan yung propetang Joseph Smith na naipananumbalik yung simbahan ni Jesus Cristo dito sa mundo. Alam ko na yung simbahan na ito na nasa pamagitan yung simbahan na ito na mas malapit po tayo, na mas malapit pa tayo sa Diyos, na mas nananaman po tayo yung kanyang pagmamahal para sa atin. Alam ko na yung angakla ni Mormon ay sobrang totoo po siya. Na nasa pamagitan yung kanyang mga toro na makonon po tayo na mas nakalaman tungko kay Jesus Cristo at tungko yung kanyang mga toro. Alam ko na yung kanyang pagmamahal na wala po siyang katapusan. Na kung naniniwala po tayo kay Jesus Cristo na mag-hanapin po tayo sa kanya. Kung hanapin po tayo sa Jesus Cristo na mas malapit po tayo sa kanya. Alam ko na yun. Samahan na ito na sobrang totoo po siya na sa pamigitan yung mga kanyang gawa na mas malapit po tayo sa kanya. Na mas na malapit yung kanyang mga anak sa kanya. Alam ko na sobrang mahalaga po yung mga missionary work para sa yung mga kanyang mga anak. So na kung wala yung mga missionary work na nawala din yung kanyang mga anak na hindi sila kayang lumapi pa kay Jesus Cristo. Na kailangan pa sila yung ebanghelyo ni Jesus Cristo. Na yung ebanghelyo ni Jesus Cristo na tinatulungan po niya sa atin na mas malapit pa kay Jesus Cristo, na mas malalaman makonon mas nakalaman tungkol sa kanya. Kahit yung mga imperfecto na gawa na ginagawa po namin na nandiyan palagi si Jesus Cristo para sa atin, na nandiyan siya palagi para sa tulungan sa atin na binigyan ng kalakasanan na tinatulungan yung ating mga testimony na maging mas malakas na mas matapag. Alam ko na yung na mahal niya po tayo. Kahit na sobrang imperfecto po tayo na kahit sa ating mga kasalanan na pwede po siya na may binigay ng kapatawarin sa ating mga kasalanan. Na pero sa nawala yung ating mga kasalanan na maging dalisay po tayo. At kung gusto po natin na maging dalisay na yung kailangan po natin gawin ay mas malapit pa kay Kristo. Alam po na sobrang totoo po yun. Gusto ko na iwan sa pangalan ni Jesus Cristo. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it. One last question for you. There may be people who listen to this podcast, and maybe even your future posterity who might listen to this podcast. What message would you want to give to them?
I think the message I would want them to give is to always know that God loves us and that He calls prophets for us in our life, that He has called His divine servants to be able to help lead and guide us in this life, because God knows we're imperfect and He knows we're going to make a lot of mistakes, but He knows that through our faith and that through the atonement of Jesus Christ, we can be clean. And so that we can overcome those imperfections, because the atonement of Jesus Christ really strengthens us and changes our weaknesses into strengths. And that's one thing I think I would love from everyone to know, is that Jesus Christ really does help us in our daily lives if we turn to Him. And I know that to be so true. And that's, I think, one of the greatest things I've learned on my mission, is that when we turn to our Savior, we'll be blessed in our life, that we'll be able to be strengthened, and that He'll guide us in all that we do.
That's a great message. Thank you, Johnny, for joining us today. We appreciate your words of wisdom and hearing your testimony and your experiences of going to the Philippines and serving there. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
And we also want to thank you, our listeners, for joining us. We hope you join us again on the Family Story Podcast. Thank you for joining us today on the Family Story Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Family Story Podcast is a production of Harmony Audio Recordings. This podcast is strictly prohibited for use without permission. For more information about Family Story Podcast, or to create your own Family Story Podcast, contact us at familystorypodcast.com. We hope you join us again soon and encourage you to go create a family memory today.